Welcome back into Sports Talk here at the Treasure Chest Casino. And what do you know, Mike? We got some news about the SEC for next season.
Yeah, before we go to Jeff, and this had been reported, and a couple other people had talked about this. They thought this would happen, but it is official. It's being put out by the Southeast Conference that the SEC will implement a 9-game conference football schedule beginning in 2026.
Okay.
So you hear the cash register ringing
indeed.
In their ears.
I thought that was the slot machines.
No. I hear that, too, every once in a while because we kind of far in the back about here the Treasure Chest. But reinforcing the SEC's position as the nation's leader in competitive excellence and fan excitement. So starting next year, 9-game SEC schedule. I remember Coach Saban at one time was against it, then he was for it. I think he was for it knowing he wouldn't be coaching too much longer.
Yeah.
And let somebody else deal with that. But starting next year, a 9-game SEC schedule for all teams in the SEC.
Just keeps getting tougher in the SEC for sure. Now we're going to welcome in our Saints sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak, to the radio huddle. Jeff, congrats, man. We've made it through another training camp. How you doing?
Yay!
Woo! Yep. Just a few sunburns, but otherwise we made it okay. I'm happy about it.
You look at the deal that the Saints made yesterday. We've been talking about it since the offseason started, about that need for the big body wide receiver. A lot of folks kind of got up in arms about it on social media because the team giving up a 4th and 7th round pick for a guy that's 27 years old, had a knee issue, and is just going into his second season. But overall, what are your impressions of the new addition in Devon Valet?
Yeah, I think what the part people kind of miss when they talk about the value of that 4th round pick is you're not just giving away a 4th round pick. You're adding a player with that 4th round pick. And that player happens to be on the second year of a 4-year deal at the 7th round scale of that contract. So you're adding a player on probably the cheapest deal you could get for 3 seasons, right? Like that's the part that's kind of driving me nuts. It's like, it's not like you're just, if you were bringing in a guy on a 1-year deal, if you were spending to bring in a Keenan Allen, for example, who's obviously not available anymore, but like, that's a different scenario. And then you'd be like, oh, this is a rebuild. Why would you do that? In this case, you're adding a piece that you expect to build with over the next few years. So I mean, it is pricey, but if that's what it costs, that's what it costs. You know, Sean Payton was out there today saying it was one of the more difficult trades he's had to make. And there was other teams interested. So you take that for what it is. It's a clear need, right? You needed a big bodied wide receiver. You added a big bodied wide receiver. He also happens to be a guy that, like, when you look at, you know, the track record for 4th round picks in the NFL, and obviously he was a 7th rounder, but even looking at the 4th round or even the 3rd round track record for wide receivers, you don't see a lot of people showing up as a rookie and putting up the numbers that he did. Just go and look at the 4th round wide receivers from last year and tell me what you find, because it's not going to be a very impressive list of production. So, you know, you have a guy that did put up numbers, can fill a need that you have, is 6'5", got legit size, moves the chains, was productive in the red zone. You know, like we can quibble about the value. Like if they had gotten him for a 5th rounder instead of a 4th, would you be happy about it? Maybe. But at the end of the day, they added the type of piece that they needed to add. And it's going to be about, like, it's not going to, at the end of the day, the success or failure of this trade isn't going to be about whether you got him slightly above market or below market. It's going to be what he does in a Saints uniform. So I just don't think we can really assess it until we see what that looks like.
Yeah, I think, Jeff, for a lot of people, and I brought it up too, I remember because I did a triple option feature deal on it. I remember Coach Payton saying after he had like a 10-catch game that he's got Marcus Colston traits. And he sort of praised him in the offseason too. Then he uses a 3rd-round pick on Pat Bryan, who's not as tall, but he's similar type traits to what we saw with Valet. And then the knee injury, and you were like, man, Sean, he don't work for the Red Cross. He don't give away players, and neither does George Payton, the GM. They don't give away guys, and it's not that they gave you had to pay more than market value for it. But if he really thought that guy was Marcus Colston, he'd have never dealt him. So I understand what Sean's saying, but, man, I didn't heard all that Mickey Mark already from Sean about a player here and there. And then, you know, you catch him, you know, when the cameras or the mic's off and he tell you a different story. I just hope he's healthy because I think what you brought up is correct. He gives you a receiver body size that they didn't have. And in year one, and when you watched a lot of his catches, it was a lot of slant passes. It was stuff to move the chains. On third and six, okay, Nix throws it to him. He gets 8 yards or 10 yards on the play. So he moved the chains for you. My thing is, it's all going to be, and I agree with you totally, not for what you gave up, but what he's going to do here and how quickly he can assimilate himself in an offense that didn't have that big receiver.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know, like, I'm curious how long it's going to take him to kind of get up to speed. They do have that open week, so he's going to have some extra time. It'll be interesting to see if he's out there on Saturday. I would imagine he's motivated to get out there to see the team he just left. And, you know, it probably doesn't take that much time to, you know, add a couple, you know, just, hey, run a fade, right? You know, run a slant. Like, you're not going to give him the entire playbook, but you might have him out there for a package of plays just to kind of get him in the mix. That knee is the question, right? Like, obviously, you don't want to deal with a knee injury when you're talking about a player that you're bringing in. It sounds like it's more just a maintenance thing, and Sean kind of downplayed it. And again, we're take Sean's word for what it is. But I agree in the sense that he said, like, hey, it's a little more difficult to do maintenance on, like, kind of a nagging thing in the off season and training camp because you're just going. You're out there every day. During the season where you have kind of scheduled off days and you have a regular program, it's a little bit easier to get guys kind of on a program like that. So we'll see how it goes. But no, I mean, at the end of the day, you're building, right? Like, this is going to be, I think, a take your medicine type year. And so you're going to figure a lot of things out. You're going to give a lot of guys opportunities. The question I have relative to this trade is, hey, you're projected to get a fourth round comp pick next year for the Paul Sandebo going to the Giants, right? Signing with the Giants. Now, that only happens if Ike Yiadom doesn't play a requisite number of snaps. I think you'd have to play about 35% of the snaps, and then that would move up, and it would actually cost you a fourth-round pick. And when they made this trade initially, I kind of felt like, well, okay, if they feel like they're going to get that comp pick back so they don't mind maybe throwing this pick out there, it's going to be an interesting decision because, hey, you might like Ike Yiadom, but do you like him enough to sacrifice a fourth-round pick just to get him out there? Like, that's going to be a question. And so, you know, you drafted Quincy Riley. You know, you have some young guys and Rico Payton and a few other young cornerbacks. How much investment are you going to have in an Ike Yiadom, right? And so we'll see how that is going forward. But I don't know. Like, I think once Saints fans kind of see the guy out there, like, everyone gets kind of worked up about the hypothetical of a draft pick, and they don't bother to look at, like, well, what if that draft pick is a bust? What if, you know, Jake Haener was a fourth-round pick? Nick Saldivari was a fourth-round pick. There's far but guaranteed that a fourth-round pick, even a high fourth-rounder, is going to contribute. So to me, it's like if you get a consistent contributor over the next 3 years out of Devon Vele, then it's a good trade. If you don't, then it's essentially the same as a missed pick.
I think, Jeff, one of the things, too, is, and from hearing from national people, that if Saints fans are upset with this, and we'll see his production level here and how quickly he can catch up, is that they're in the market for a running back. One of the guys that I've heard from enough people is Travis Etienne with Jacksonville is being run around the league. And from a value standpoint, to see what the Jaguars can get for him. Louisiana guy, and Jennings goes to Clemson, has a great career there at Clemson. First round pick of the Jaguars a few years back. They loaded that running back. We talked about that on the pregame, me, Steve, and Bob. Man, they got some running backs on that team. It's going to cost you a draft pick for ATN if you make that move.
Yeah, it would also fit the theme, which has been if you play them in the preseason, the Saints are going to trade for you, right? But, no, I find it far-fetched that the Saints would be in the market for a running back. Like I get it, they're making calls. I kind of feel like the Saints are just one of those teams that's always making calls, right? It's the same reason we hear about them every year on draft day. They're making calls regardless of whether it's necessarily like, hey, I'm super motivated to get this done versus I'm just kicking the tires. And to me, I don't know. Like, I don't see running back as such a pressing need that you would be actively giving up premium assets. Especially, you know, there's going to be, I think it's more likely they bring someone on waivers if they bring someone in. But yeah, I mean, Etienne, I like Etienne a lot. You know, he's a good player. He's dealt with injuries. I don't know. I think this is just going to be a season where you need to see what you have. So, you know, I think there was kind of a void that you filled with Vele. I don't necessarily see that at running back. So I'd be really surprised if they make a move there.
The one thing, he would be a fit because of the fact the same thing you do with Kamara, you could do with him. Sure. And he is also a really good. Now, he wasn't at first. Man, he came to one of my camps that I worked at. He couldn't catch a cold if he was naked in Russia in the wintertime. He couldn't catch anything. But, man, I give him a lot of credit. He really worked at it. And he became a really good receiver coming out of the backfield. And so I understand where you would look at that and say he's a fit for what we do offensively. And is there really a clear-cut number two on this team?
Oh, there definitely isn't. There definitely isn't. I mean, at this point, it would be Kendre Miller, but I don't think anyone's looking at Kendre and saying he's, yeah, we have to, we can't move on from him, right? Just after what you've seen, he is healthy right now. Sounds like a lot of the starters are going to play on Saturday, so it'll be interesting to see if he gets out there. But again, you know, I actually feel like this running back room is in pretty good shape, all things considered. Obviously, Alvin's getting up there in age. You have some question marks behind him, but I like the depth they have. So we'll see how that goes. The Devin Neal is a guy that we haven't really seen yet. You know, he did get back to practice this week. Sounds like he's on track to play on Saturday. So I'd like to see him get out there. But we'll see. Like, I'll never put it past the Saints to go out and make a move. You know, we saw that this week. But I don't know. Like, they're kind of on the fringe of not having enough ammunition to feel comfortable making trades. Obviously, they've set the fourth-round pick. They have their top three picks. I just don't think they're in a position where they can be the team shelling out assets at this point. But hey, you never know.
Are you surprised, Jeff, in how they handling Game 3 preseason-wise? And everybody, Bobby and I were talking about this. Everybody's got a little bit different look at the third game of the preseason and how you play your starters, how you don't. We've already heard Peyton say that he's going to play some of his starters Saturday, but he wants to take a good look at the backups. We've heard Kellen Moore almost say the identical thing today in his presser, that he was going to play the starters in Game 3. And you got other coaches, man, I ain't playing them starters. I'm not doing that. I'm going to play my backup guys. So everybody's got a little bit different view on how you look at Game 3 of the preseason. When it was 4, I get it. You play the starters quite a bit, but not having that fourth preseason game, it does give you a little leeway if somebody does kind of pull a little something here or there. But everybody's trying to find, for me, the right kind of rhythm to play your players in the preseason to get them ready for the regular season.
Yeah, you know, I'm not surprised that they're going to play some starters. I'm interested in what that means, right? Because the first two games, it's not that you didn't play the starters. You played some of them, right? Like, you kind of platooned your pass catchers. You had Brandon Cooks and Juwan Johnson in there when for Spencer Rattler's start. Then you kind of flipped that and you went Rashid Shaheed, Chris Olave for Tyler Shuck's start, right? And so do you flip that back? Do you give them all of them? Spencer Rattler is going to be off the bench first. Kellen Moore said that's not an indicator that they've made a quarterback decision. I'm gonna take that with a grain of salt because I kind of feel like it is, but we'll have to wait and see. The only thing that is surprising to me a little bit is that they're still playing coy with the quarterback, and you have to wonder. I kind of wonder if it's a hey, we Tyler Shuck is a guy that we want to play long term, and we want to make sure he has all of the opportunities available to develop in training camp, even if he's not the starter. That's kind of where I'm looking at it now because I don't know. Like, I just, everything we've seen throughout camp, even the rep distribution, it just seems like, hey, Spencer is getting kind of 2-1 at points where there's opportunities to get him 2-1. Even starting preseason games, he's getting 2-1. And to me, that's an indicator that you're going with Tyler, but you do still want to get him reps. You do still want to get him out there with players that he might play with. The guys that I'm curious about, you know, you haven't seen Alvin Kamara. I'd still be surprised if you see him out there. But Eric McCoy, like, I think there is value in getting Eric McCoy out there reps with the starting quarterback. And I think one of the reasons the offensive line has struggled is because you haven't had Eric McCoy in there. So is he going to be up? I think he probably will be. I think this is probably the game where you say, all right, we're going to get him a series. He might not play as much as the rest of the starters, but I'd like to see him out there. But no, I mean, I think there's value in getting reps in the preseason. You got 2 weeks off. You're not going to overwork anybody. You're really just trying to build momentum, build positivity. And I'll tell you what, I think this team, you know, this offense really could use a good start to a game. Like, that's been the one disappointing thing. Like, we've seen good performances from the backups, but you have the first team offensive line in there. You got the starting quarterback, quote unquote. I'd like to see a drive for some points. And to this point, it's been a lot of dud drives early in game. So I think that's something they're going to focus on and preach this week, is let's get up to a fast start. And if you do that, and if you go out there and you lead a touchdown drive on your opening drive, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of those guys come out, because so much of the, I call it the George Costanza rule of the preseason. Like, you're willing to give guys one series as long as that series goes well. You do not want to pull somebody after a fumble or a pick six or something like that.
Thanks, Jeff. And yeah, before we let you run, I want to know what it was like hanging out at City Hall today, seeing Tyrann Mathieu getting honored by with his own day today. And, you know, was there as his family. I saw you were hanging out there as well.
I actually wasn't out there. I have a pretty good source at City Hall.
Okay.
It's actually my wife. She works there. So she sent me a picture.
Kudos like, to Claire for the photo
there.
Then.
Go.
Yeah. I should have credited her, but, you know, she's got a private Twitter account. So I figured that I didn't want to do that.
Jeff, definitely appreciate the time. Be talking to you more on Saturday for game day, my brother.
Sounds good, y'all. Have a good one.
Thank you, Jeff.
Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, joining us there, talking about the black and gold, getting ready for that preseason finale.